This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Do you know the difference between religious conversion therapy and conversion therapy? Is there a difference? Do you actually understand what conversion therapy is, or just what we see in the headlines? Ambassadors and Bridge Builders International have released a detailed report looking at gay conversion therapy in Australia, to not only combat some of the misinformation we are seeing in the media, but also to help clear up the conversation, highlighting the realities of these so-called therapies of the past and practices of the present within religious institutions. The ABBI serves individuals, churches, denominations, leaders, and religious organisations in a respectful and non-confrontational way along their journey to understand LGBTI people, their community, and relationships. Dean Arcuri sat down with ABBI founder Anthony Venn Brown to discuss the report and the realities we aren't noticing when it comes to religious conversion therapy.
You've recently, through ABBI, have released a really, really detailed report about religious conversion therapy in Australia. So why was it important to release that information now?
You know, I've been writing on the topic for many years, and this journey began for me in 2000 when I had an online Yahoo group of ex-gay survivors, we call the people which had been through ex-gay programs. So I'm currently writing a book on the topic called The Quest to Cure Queers, which is why I'm in Europe at the moment, doing further research and then going to the US. So it was really important, considering now that the whole thing is happening about wanting to ban gay conversion therapy, it's really important to educate and inform people what this is about, because I was seeing that people are making the same mistakes that happened in the past, and people needed to, first of all, really understand what are we talking about when we're talking about gay conversion therapy. This is a very recent term.
I do think one of the important things about the report that you've released, it's so detailed. It deals with history, different countries, so many different narratives that we see, but it really does talk about the media regarding religious gay conversion therapy or gay conversion therapy and the confusion that's being created. How do you think we can break that down to not only better inform but better communicate?
I think that one of the things that would really be helpful, Dean, is if we could have a standard term to separate the things that we're talking about. Because I think within the LGBTI community, if people don't come from a faith background, then they may have as much misunderstanding and misinterpretation of really what's going on as well. So having a term would be very, very useful. But we probably need to have more of a conversation about that. But that's one thing that I highlight at the beginning of the report. We need to get our terms right so we know really what are we talking about here. And the media needs to take more responsibility. I think in my report, I quoted actually an article from, I believe it was the Washington Post, which had just done the very thing that I had condemned, you know, had spoken about, that they had said about gay conversion therapy. Then they talked about electric shock treatment and vomit-inducing drugs, but that's got nothing to do with what was happening in Washington at that point. So it was irresponsible of them to use that. It's sensational. And got people emotional about it, but it wasn't actually staying on topic.
So one of the things you speak about a lot and you put a lot of detail into in the piece is talking about religious gay conversion therapy as opposed to gay conversion therapy. Why is it important for us to understand the difference in that distinction?
Very important for us to understand that distinction, because they're two very, very different things. The term gay conversion therapy is a relatively new term, Dean. And it's become very, very popular. It's been used to talk about what have been dated medical practices from the past, such as aversion therapy, like electroshock treatments, and also vomit-inducing drugs being injected in people while they watch photographs. So there are old methodologies which may be happening in other countries. And then, of course, within the mental health profession, there would be some very dated practitioners in that who would still maybe believe that homosexual is caused by improper upbringing and that they could change that. So that's very different from the religious context. So within the religious context, to use the term gay conversion therapy is problematic because, number one, it's not therapy. People aren't going to, as they would to a medical health professional, they're going to a pastor, a Christian leader, or some ministry which will pray, which will offer spiritual advice. And this is based upon the Bible and their own personal experience as opposed to any reputable mental health research.
Religion plays a huge part in religious conversion therapy. And today, I don't think the way in which we're seeing the topic played out in the media or in conversations, whether it be political or in other ways, they're really focusing on the narrative in that way. Do you think we need to be able to create a deeper understanding of faith alongside sexuality so that we actually can build a stronger dialogue here rather than throwing things over a fence, as it were?
Well, I think we do need to be very careful about the terminology we use, and particularly, you know, like I know that some people in the media have gone to previous, what we would call ex-gay organisations leaders of that and saying to them, do you do conversion therapy? Of course, their response would be no, because they've read the articles which talk about electric shock treatment and starvation and deprivation, and there were some very cruel things that happened, but often those have either been in the past or are very, very extreme cases, and not many people in Australia have experienced that at that level. But within the religious context, there's a whole different thing going on because the person of faith, their faith is very important to them, their whole social network, their friends, their family, maybe even their education is within that context, and they've never heard anything positive about what it means to be gay or lesbian or trans. And so, you know, we need to be working more on educating people around the areas of belief around sexuality and gender identity.
One of the important things that you do highlight in the report is the Christian Counsellors Association of Australia's Code of Ethics changing. And it's so interesting when you look at the way in which that's occurred, but also when you realise it's not actually taking effect in the way that one would hope it to.
No, it is astounding. I think it's astounding, and I'm not quite sure why other media sources have not picked this up, but it's astounding that the Christian Counsellors Association of Australia have actually changed their code of ethics, which says that none of their practitioners are to do any orientation or gender modification approaches. So within the Christian Counsel Association, you get such a spectrum of people, and there are people within that who still very, very strongly believe in a Christian version of gay conversion therapy, you know, that they believe, number one, that this is something that is caused by an incorrect upbringing or by sexual abuse, and so that their development has been arrested. And that through therapy, they can change that. And also with, you know, they believe through the power of prayer and faith as well. But it's their Christian beliefs mixed in with their counseling practice.
Well, I think what's really interesting is the only reason we know about this in this kind of detail is because your report. It hasn't been seen in other media spaces, at least here within Australia. And it's so important. But do you think that's because people shied away from the attention or didn't put focus on it, or we just weren't looking?
Probably all of those things, Dean. But the main thing is that the Christian Counsellors Association do not want to get involved in a public dialogue on this and do not want to get involved in controversy. And that's the main reason why they've hidden it. That's the main reason why they didn't want to talk to me originally when they were discussing this. But now it's out and they have said it and they have to live by it. And I guess it's then now, we've highlighted that in the report, it's only a matter of time before somebody goes to someone who is accredited with the Christian Counselling Association of Australia, who has a counsellor saying to them, look, you know, now I can help you with your unwanted same-sex attraction, which is the term that they would use, and that they will be reported.
So looking at the landscape as you have, you've created an incredibly detailed report that gives us not only a lot of information to think of how we're approaching this, both in conversation and dialogue, but where we're really looking at information What advice would you give for tackling this and taking the next step? Because there's so many different levels and layers that you approach, but it does really show that there's a huge change that we have to make to really think about how we're engaging and putting a stop to this.
I mean, obviously, one thing that would be helpful for people is exactly what you've done, Dean, and that's read the report, because it is very in-depth, it is very detailed. I mean, I would say over 70% of that has been unpublished work, and I highlight all the important things moving forward. But, you know, we've had our battle with marriage equality, and this seems to be our next battle. And we do really need to think strategically about how we do this. We need to do it in a very, very educated way. I think we need to work collaboratively on this, and that hasn't always been something that's happened within this space, sadly, because a lot of the ex-gay survivors, in fact, I'd say most of the ex-gay survivors, we have some level of PTSD, and we can trigger easy and we can bounce off each other, but we really do need to work collaboratively on this.
That was Dean Arcuri with Anthony Venn Brown, founder of Ambassadors and Bridge Builders International. You can find a copy of the report on our social media or via abbi.org.au.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.